guys, and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on today's episode, we have the lovely Julian with us. Hi, Julian.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to get to talk to you today. Like, I've been following you for a long time, so a little fangirling moment over here, I'm not going to lie. I wore my brightest colored shirt today just for you.
It is beautiful. I was thinking, like, I like that shirt. That's really nice.
Thank you. Thank you. It was actually one of the first shirts I ever made. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like that early 2000s Gap sweater that had the stripes going this way, but that's going vertical here. Doesn't it? I mean,
I like it.
It's a throwback, but it's one of my faves. And so I was like, you know what? If I want to chat with Julian today, I need all the color. And you brought all the color too. I love it.
No. You know,
just a little something.
Well, if you could introduce yourself to our listeners so they can get to know you a little bit better, and then we'll dive in to get to know you even more.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Julian Collins. I go by Julian Creates. Yes. Funny, people actually think Creates is my last name.
I mean, that would be perfect if it was.
Yeah, I kind of chose that out for a reason, but I am from Cincinnati, Ohio, born and raised. In my day job, I work in public health. I am in like philanthropy. So I help give money to organizations to do great public health work in and around my region, building connections with different community organizations. But outside of work, I sew. I started sewing in 2016, learned through books and through YouTube.
Yeah.
But I came from a family of sewers. So my mother sews, my father sews, my grandmothers both sewed and stuff like that. So I was always interested in it, but didn't quite learn. I even started college for fashion.
Okay.
Lasted a quarter. And I was like, I want to learn how to sew. And they don't teach you that.
So, no, they don't. I went through fashion school. They don't teach you how to sew. You're just kind of thrown into it.
Yeah. And I got tired of drawing circles and choosing colors, and I wanted to sew. So I changed majors, hence how I'm in public health, but kind of picked it up on my own and have been going ever since. So outside of just sewing in my space, my creative haven, I am a pattern designer with Nomi Patterns through Simplicity, a new imprint from Mimi G. I am a ambassador and an expert with Bernina. And then I also teach and do different things all around the country.
Wow. Awesome.
He does all the things. And he does it all with, like, I don't know, just like your whole demeanor, your whole vibe is just, it's hard. Like, if you need a pick me up, just go to Julian's page. Like, it's just so bright and colorful. You can't be sad and look at his content. Like, it'll just cheer you up. Like, truly. So
that is the perfect testimony. I might need to save that just to put on the website or something.
We'll put that clip on a reel for you. But I'm so glad that you're here. And you mentioned that, like, your mother sewed, your grandparents sewed, but you even said your father sewed, too. So you had a male sewist in your life as an example, because I'm be frank, like, there's not a lot of male sewists. It's not predominant, but they are out there. I see them. I follow them, like yourself. And you have built a community even on your Facebook group for that purpose, to find that that group of people that are like you, that are sewing. And absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how that influence was on you and made you think, well, if my dad can sew and my mom and my grandmother's, I can sew. And it kind of, how did that impact your life in doing this?
So funny enough, I literally just found out my dad sewed maybe about a month or two ago.
Stop it. He was a closet sewist.
Like, so we are working on relationship, you know, family dynamics.
Yeah, yeah.
But I found out, like, he went and did training in upholstery. So he, things like that. So when I started sewing, he was like, he kind of had a chuckle inside. He's like, yep, he gets this honest from different people in his family.
That's too funny.
But yeah, my family's just kind of creative that way. And it's funny because, again, I have all these people around me who sews. Mm-hmm. Did anybody teach me?
Right. I know.
But I'm actually glad that did not happen, because I mean, my family is older. So like my mother's in her 70s, like my family is older. My grandparents are no longer with us. And my grandparents came of that age as they're teaching people how to sew. If they don't like a stitch, they would just unpick it. Like literally, they'll be having a conversation with you looking at your handiwork and will start unpicking your seams. So my mother told me about how she was sewing something. She had made a jacket or something and took it to her mom when she was learning how to sew in like the 60s or 70s. Is super excited about it. And they were having another conversation about something. I think they were in the kitchen and she turned around. And before she knew it, all the pieces were sitting on the table. Yeah, it just needed to be done a little differently.
Oh, no.
And give it back to her to redo. So
lesson moment, right? Unsolicited.
I'm glad that I kind of learned on my own, but it's funny, like, again, now my aunts and my mother and stuff like that want me to sew for them. I'm a selfish sewer, so it doesn't happen often. But when they see me, if I'm wearing something I made, they don't mind getting in your personal space and pulling him and looking at seams and looking at construction piece, like halfway pulling clothes. I'm like, wait a minute.
You're in my bubble.
We don't do that no more. I take it as a compliment.
So my mom's very much a perfectionist, and I was around her when she sewed. I was a part of the process when she would sew clothes for me, like designing it, picking out stuff and all of that. She did it. She put me in classes. So I learned from classes at a store in Nashville that's no longer around called Dancing Needles. And so, because I think there was a time where she tried to teach me, but I'm more of a, let's just wing it. And she's more of a, it has to be done by the book. And and we've always been opposites in that way, but we both come together with our love for creating. So we definitely have different approaches. And I think she quickly realized that I just needed to go to a class. Let me be somebody else's problem.
I probably would rather.
Yeah. So fast forward, I made her something for the first time. Not this year, but the year before for Easter. I made us both Easter dresses literally the day before Easter, because that's how it works. And I took it to her and I was so nervous to give it to her. I thought I did a great job. It looked really nice. It fit her perfectly, but I was just ready for her to like critique.
Take it apart.
But when you serge it, it makes it a little harder for them to do that. So I can relate to your experience. But it's funny because she's so proud of like what I do and my job and everything. And, but at the same time, I'm like, I still think she's like way more talented than I am. And I look up to her. It's fun to have that together now. And I'm sure you're getting to kind of experience that now, knowing that your dad sewed too.
I have made, so he's requested like some shirts and some aprons. So I definitely have made those for him. And just, you know, I think my family now sees, cause again, even when I went for fashion school, it was a fight. My mother was not pleased. She wanted me to be an architect. So she wanted me to go back. I love houses and I love clothes. And she wanted me to go to school for architecture. And I think it was about junior year in high school. I was like, I'd rather do fashion. I was watching couture fashion shows and stuff like that. I was like, I want to do that. Then I changed majors. So she was feeling some type of way about that. And to now see me do like this type of stuff and see like my pattern in stores and stuff like that. It is like a full circle moment to kind of get here, especially on your own. It's not something that you always see.
No, I get it. My dad always joked that I like went to college for my hobbies, like fine art and fashion design, you know? And it's like, well, yeah. And then I spent 10 years doing something completely different, but now I am here doing it. And it's just, it's a full circle moment. I knew I would get here eventually.
I feel like it's like we started learning how to draft patterns, and it's very much like, you know, architecture in a way, like you're building a clothes, right? So it's not far off.
No.
It's the same thing. Like you're going from 2D to 3D. I'm using cloth to get there.
Exactly.
Or you can go the opposite way. You can drape it and then put it into Illustrator or whatever program, but there's a there's a lot of different ways to approach things. I feel like because my parents are the same age as yours, and it's just a different generation too, like mindset of going into things. And I definitely pushed boundaries and buttons. Sounds like you did too. So.
Really, that's where the community is going. It's mm-hmm. now trying to. It's the intergenerations that we're mm-hmm. trying to better mesh. I think that you have those perfectionists who saw things done a certain way and they think that's the only way.
Yeah.
And here is this guy who comes in, this black guy at that, who is sometimes, I mean, I'm amenable. I can get along with anybody, but it's still not what you expect to hear from. Mm-hmm. You don't expect to take these classes from a guy in his 30s who is teaching you about sewing. It's interesting when you have to do a class for multiple people who are retirees. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a class with a retired rocket scientist from NASA.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's intimidating. but, you know, he just kind of picked up sewing because he's like, I love to do stuff with my hands. So this is mm-hmm. how we're going to do it. And it just kind of happened on its own. But to have these classes with these older people, and here I am, this young person teaching this, it feels good because I think I am able to bridge gaps and really help people mm-hmm. not only learn a technique, but find their creativity. Because mm-hmm. my instructions, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure it out. And we're also going to use creativity with it. So because I think a seam is a seam and a stitch is a stitch. So there are many different ways to get to an end result. And not everybody teaches that way.
Right.
So mm-hmm. trying mm-hmm. to weave that in and give people the freedom to use their own minds and use their own creativity is also important in the process.
Well, it's also like, you know, if you get so stuck on following the steps, you don't think about how you can maybe change it a little or make it your own or try something new or even give yourself room or permission to make mistakes so you can learn. Because those are sometimes the best learning opportunities is when you make mistakes. My mom's very much like a rule follower and she's like by the T. And I'm, like I said, the opposite. So we just kind of approach things a little differently. And there's no right or wrong way of doing things. As long as you get to the same result and you end up with whatever the project is, you know, and it's okay if they look a little different because it's unique to what you did. So I love that approach. I would love to take a Julian class. I think it would be so much fun.
We have a good time.
I'm sure.
See what you're going to wear, too. Like, I love your shirt.
I know.
It's amazing. Did you design your own fabric?
So, no. This is actually the Pride fabric from Joanne Fabrics this year. So, this is, I want to say, this is Alexander Henry.
I love it.
So, it's all like different different people.
I love it.
Yeah, I never went into Joanne's. I went over to the U.S. a couple days ago, and I didn't go there. I would have seen that.
Well, no, actually, so when this came out in June, and literally it quickly sold out.
Oh, yeah. Really? I bet. Yeah. Beautiful.
I saw it in the stores, and I was like, oh, all these like fun colors and bright colors. I love that it kind of kicks off summer because it just goes along with summer anyways. And I just feel like you can just wear it whenever. So it's like perfect. Now you have a group on Facebook called So Manly. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that group. I know I'm a girl, but I want to know, is it okay for us to know a little bit about it? I mean, I didn't know if it was like it was on the DL.
Like no girls allowed on the door.
When I started sewing, or even before I started sewing, I was always fascinated. So I started joining groups and I was one of the few men in the group. So, but I was always warmly welcomed. So that was good. So that also helped in the process. But I felt that there needed to be a group kind of focused on menswear and masculine inspired fashion.
Yeah.
So it is not just for men.
Okay, cool.
It's for everyone. Awesome. And I wanted to change the name, but my group members told me no. I was going to change it to like That So Them or something like that. So it could be more inclusive, but liked. So Manly. And I just really chose it not from a very kind of like masculine macho type of thing. It just kind of rolled together when you said it. So that's why I chose it.
I think it's great. But I love that it's open to everyone because at the end of the day, I mean, you're the one leading and teaching and inspiring in that group. So it makes sense.
And what's great about it is literally you have, I mean, I call myself sometimes I'm an intermediate sewist. I would never say I'm an expert, even though there are titles in my thing that says I am one, but you know, that's how we say it. But literally I have tailors and like people who have been doing this for 20, 30 years and making full bespoke suits to those who are just beginning in that group.
Yeah.
And it's a place for you to share information, a place for you to share your photos.
Nice.
Let us celebrate you. We want to keep people going because we don't want sewing to die out.
No, please no.
And there needs to be a new generation of people finding it.
There was such a boom during COVID. So it's just like, we got to keep it up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
it's wonderful.
I think it's such a great community too. I mean, I think every kind of community has its moments of like, oh, that wasn't the best moment we've had lately. But overall, I feel like it's a very supportive, inclusive, inviting community, like you said, beginners to more advanced and everyone in between. And no matter what you like to sew or, you know, your sewing background or your approach to it or the machine you use, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just the connectivity of just being with like-minded people and having that support. And that's why Ashley and I started this podcast, is just to create an opportunity for the sewing community to get to know each other better. You know, I mean, we can only know so much about someone from an Instagram post, you know, or a TikTok video or a YouTube tutorial, but to really get to know what made you want to start sewing or what inspired you or what you're working on next, it kind of dives in a little deeper to our guests and get to know them a little more. And I think that's why we have so much fun doing this podcast. This is just fun for us. And we have fabulous people like you.
And I think really people forget that sewing can be fun. I think that some get real serious about it and take fun out of it. And I'm like, you can't do that.
Yeah. We actually talked about that with Elizabeth, our last guest, because she was like doing it as like a business. And then she's like, this is like, and for some people that is great. But for other people, we just want to like for myself, I just want to make the shirt once and then I'm ready to move on to something else. You know, I don't want to make the same thing over and over and sell it. I would rather teach you how to do it yourself.
But people keep asking.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
You should sell that. You should sell that. Oh, my God. You should sell it.
You don't know how often I get asked that. And I'm like,
oh, I'm sure.
No.
No.
Right? No.
I love that word.
Yeah, exactly. I will teach you how to make it. I will empower you to do it. But literally, I have made it so the way that I like, the reason I keep my job in public health is because I like to keep sewing separate.
Yeah.
I don't want to make sewing my bread and butter because then it will get stressful and not fun.
Exactly.
But I do have fun with it and I do get paid for it. I just get paid to basically make stuff for myself and to be myself.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Kudos to that.
That's the best way to do sewing, in my opinion.
Yeah. But, you know, it's really rewarding when you get a DM from someone who you do not know, who goes, your tutorial made so much sense, helped me get through this. I had watched so many other videos on how to do that, and I couldn't figure it out. And yours just, like, connected and resonated. And look at my finished project. And I'm like, oh. So those days where I'm like, stressed out or burnt out or whatever, it's just, it always comes at those moments that it I just does. Need a little more in my cup and it fills me right up and I'm like, okay, what am I doing next?
Right.
Especially now that like international people who are seeing like our many patterns, so when I'm seeing people literally across the world making my patterns and that's tagging wild. Me in, I'm like, wow.
And doesn't, you know, that just make it feel the world feels so much smaller when that happens, yet your reach is that big.
Absolutely. Amazing. I just had somebody DM me saying they found one of my magazine articles in the Netherlands. I was like, oh, well,
that's
all right.
So cool.
You saw the magazine before I did. Here's what else I was like, I love it.
I
love it.
I had no idea that I had several of my projects that I've done for Singer in Better Homes and Garden until the marketing director was like, hey, do you want these copies? When she was, I was like, well, I mean, I guess. And she's like, well, your project's in it. And I was like, what? And it has my name and I've published. It was like three of them. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Thanks for letting me know.
I mean, I'm glad, but I was like,
I heard my voice dubbed into German. I was like, oh, no! This is serious.
I mean, that had to be weird. But then you're like, I know what I said, so now I can speak German.
I was like, well, all right. But yeah.
I'm fluent, just like well, that.
Some of the, like what I've done, like, so I did a campaign releasing the L860 Surger behind me. And so some of those videos and stuff have been dubbed into different languages. Yeah. And you get followed by like Bernina of Kenya and Bernina of Syria and stuff like that. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. You see like your image with different languages. I'm like, this is crazy.
So there's a singer Brazil that's really like does a lot on Instagram, and I follow it even though I can't understand any of what they say, but they'll take the content that I do for Singer North America and they'll put it again in Portuguese, and I'm watching it and I'm just like, I had the same moment. It's just like an out of body experience. I'm like, those are my hands. That's my project. That's not my voice.
Exactly. But I'm like, okay, we're going to roll with it. And let's have a good time with it. And I think that's the fun part of it.
It is.
That, you know, and there's ways that we can all connect. Because like you said, with Singer, a lot of times people get very specific on their sewing machines too. Mm-hmm. And I work with a sewing machine brand. I understand it. But I love machines. So I own like 50 of them.
Oh my gosh, stop.
You own?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a problem. Okay,
it is.
Do you have a really big house for them all?
No, my house is under 1,000 square feet.
Oh my god!
Do I have some hidden in my dining room and like behind my couch? I do.
That's you know,
I do.
You're owning it. I feel like this isn't a side of you we haven't seen on your social media though.
I've shared it more on my TikTok.
TikTok is more appropriate for that kind of stuff.
I mean, I will share, like, I will go through, like, because I love vintage machines. So when I started sewing, I started on a box store machine. Mm-hmm. And I think I made 2 projects on it before it jammed and just never worked at all. And I was like, oh, well, I just can't like sewing. This is just not going to work. So this was before, like, 2016. Mm-hmm. But then I found vintage. Mm-hmm. And I think it was shopgoodwill.com. And I bought a machine. It was... I call it Monty. It is a Montgomery Ward straight stitch with a 1.5 amp motor.
Nice.
And when I tell you that's one of my favorite machines to this day.
Really?
And I have fancy stuff, but that's one of my favorite machines. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that machines have different personalities. And I had to test them to figure out which one I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I just started to buy them. And things grew. Now, some of them I buy to give away. Just so like for people who are interested in learning to sew and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think my oldest is like 1880s.
Wow.
So cool.
2021, 2022.
Uh-huh. And I love the vintage ones, and you know, I have some that just sit, they're just decoration. You know, they're just for me to like look over and admire and dust once a week. So, yeah, I mean, they're just for aesthetics, you know. I have one of the old one Singers that like you hand crank. There's it's not even a pedal, it's a hand crank. But I mean, I'm not going to sew on it. It's just pretty to look at. And then I have some others that I still have, like my first sewing machine that I sewed on. And I have I've gifted some of my older ones that I no longer use to people who wanted to learn to sew and just didn't have like the means. So I'm like, oh yeah, well, let me just clean it up for you and get it all going. It works great. Here you go. I got my use out of it. And, you know, so I like you. I just want to be able to give back. But I have thought about going down that avenue of collecting really unique machines. I almost bought one recently at a store, a repurposed craft store here in Nashville. And it was a Kenmore, but it was pink. It was pink and it was in the original table and everything. I don't really have a room for like the table and all of that. Yeah. I really just wanted the machine.
You make room.
I know. Okay. I did not get it. I really should have, but I left it behind. I don't know if it's still there or not. It's been a month or so, but
if you think no,
it may not be. I feel like that store, people just don't even realize what it is.
Right. Right.
And so that's why it might could still be sitting there. But, yesterday I found, an industrial machine off Facebook Marketplace. I did not let that I did not sleep. So I did not sleep on that one because I've really been wanting one of those. And that's kind of the reason why I didn't get the Kenmore. I'm like, well, that could take up space for the machine I actually would like to use and have, because I too don't have a very big house.
And now she made room.
Well, we're going to rearrange some things to make room.
Yeah. Move some people out.
I have an industrial over in this corner here.
Ooh,
okay. And
I like the orange on that. That's super cool.
Well, this is a company called Vivor. So I've heard of it. It reminds me of like a more in-depth Harbor Freight.
Yeah.
And but this machine itself is like, so it's like a badge 8700, like Juki DDL 8700.
Mm-hmm.
And they also sell this in like in red colorway under the name Two Lions. So a lot of people like in Africa have these. Mm-hmm. So I looked at videos before I bought it.
Yeah.
And I saw how much this website was selling it for, but then I saw it on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
Cheaper. And then I like was watching it, and then they gave me an offer for cheaper. So I was like, I have to buy it. And the price, what I also like to do is I want to make sure that I can find accessible things for people. Mm-hmm. I think people think that when they see, especially the fancy machines, they think that they're all super, super expensive.
Right.
You don't have to have the fanciest thing to do your job. No. It really is about what you're able to do. The machine just is putting the stitches together. As long as it has like either a straight zigzag and maybe a buttonhole, you good.
Yeah.
But I know like a lot of us, like the amount I sell, I was like, I need an industrial, just would make things easier.
Yeah.
And the pricing for this was around $400.
That's,
I was like, I need to try that. So literally I tried it for my community. So on TikTok, I sew with a group called Black Sewing Network a lot. Mm-hmm. So it is a group of sewists. And literally people are going live every day.
That's awesome.
And on Sundays we do a large sew along. And right now we just started a series where we're about to do all of the Nomi patterns for the summer release.
Nice. Yeah, they've had a lot of new patterns released this summer.
Yeah. So I think there's 12 of them. So yeah, I kicked it off with Senza Mini Scorpios. Actually, I have the packet here. So I made this shirt yesterday with two other sewists, and like literally I just kind of walked them through. We're on live for I think it was like 4 or 5 hours putting the shirt together from start to finish.
Wow.
And we do that, and it's just a way that we have built community in a authentic way. Like literally we can call each other friends because we are together. We're on live and you can have
a lot of time together, even if it is virtual. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, like finding different ways to connect people with machines and finding machines that is like accessible for people, because, you know, Bernina, people think of pricing and they think everything is going to be so expensive, and I do not have access to that. And I tell them my story. Like, so the Bernina behind me, so this one, it is a 750 QE I got from Goodwill.
Nice.
That's a good find too.
That's a really good find.
I have two actually, and then I also have a top of the line 830 Bernina Goodwill. So
what?
Goodwill.
Goodwill is good. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even find fabric or decent bed sheets at mine.
Right? No, I don't either.
I'm not going into the store. It's shopgoodwill.com, so it's like an auction site for Goodwill.
See, I probably don't even have that in my country. Guaranteed.
You might check. Yeah, you might.
Really know that was a that could be dangerous.
Hence why I have so many machines. Most of them are Google.com. Yeah.
You know, Duana was a guest of ours a few months ago, and she too has a pretty extensive vintage sewing machine collection. And she's got hers all displayed on beautiful shelving in her space. Really? And she's got like little small ones, she's got like all the different colors. It was so pretty.
That is what kind of made me want to like, maybe I should.
She kind of, And then I was like, oh, I really shouldn't.
So I don't have mine like prettily displayed. I do have some that are out, but literally I have shelves and stuff in my space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I currently have, so I have the three behind me, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Oh my goodness.
Within view of you right now.
In my room itself.
That's wild.
Most of them, like, I have shelving. They are in spaces.
Yeah.
I have some that are in other, It's a lot.
Well, you know, I mean, because I'm an educator with Singer, I have machines coming and going through my house all the time. And so I too have shelving and they are all lined up over here. But after, like, I guess it was in mid-June, I got to the point where they were on the floor in here. They were on the floor in my sewing room. I was always
tripping over them, stubbing your toes.
And I was always trying to find the one that I needed to use. And I think I got to where I had 16 or 17 Singer machines alone. And that doesn't include any of my personal machines that I have. And so I was like, I need to take some to the office. So I loaded up 11 sewing machines into my car. It barely fit. And took them all to the office. So before, when I first started working with them, you know, we worked from home the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then, so I only rarely went to the office. So me grabbing what I could when I did, it would just stay at my house. But now that I go to the office a couple days every week, I don't necessarily need them all here because I know I'll be there next week. If I need to get one, I can. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I just got purged. And so I purged a bunch that we're not even really doing stuff with anymore. And so I just... And it's been very nice.
There's got to be new stuff coming out anyways, right?
We've got several new machines coming out this year. And so I'm going to be getting those soon. So I'm already looking going, okay, well, if that one's coming, that one can go back. And like, I'm trying to get it down to where I just have maybe two or three shelves of machines at a time in here and they're not on the floor.
So, wouldn't that be nice?
I got them on the floor and I'm they're just going to stay there for right now.
They're just going to stay there, yeah. And well, you know,
I mean, there are some I'm getting rid of. Like, I know that they would do better in other people's homes. We're out of them.
Yeah.
They're going away. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And plus, I like to see what other brands have. Like, I find myself helping people find machines that's going to work for them. So if I know what you like, I can help find a machine for you. Mm-hmm. If I test these different machines out, I can also help kind of troubleshoot what's going on.
Yeah.
I love doing that. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like one of those neat things that I find important to me is like to know machines, to know history of machines, to really be able to know features and what's like quirks and stuff like that. So
do you find, like, I feel like you might be a little bit like me with like really kind of, oh, I don't know how to word this because we talked about it earlier. I am a little obsessive about like people like taking care of their machines, cleaning their machines.
And I knew you were going there.
I kind of preach it. I don't want to say I like shove it down your throat, but you're going to hear me kind of talk about it from time to time because I don't feel like it's talked about enough. And there's people running businesses and I've had the same machine for 5 years and has never had it serviced and barely cleans it out. I'm like, your machine is suffocating.
Barely changes the needle. How about that?
I know. By the way, PSA, you should change your needle every 6 to 8 hours of actual sewing.
Change your needle like you change your drawers. That's what I said.
Yes. I love that. I'm going to put that on a shirt. That's going to also be a clip in our, that's got to be. Love it. I love it. But I feel like you might kind of, because you love and appreciate and enjoy the mechanisms that make a machine work, that you too probably are a little like me when you're like, hey, I'm going to give you this machine, but I'm also going to tell you how to take care of it.
Absolutely.
It's a good idea to educate people into like, you can learn your machine. You don't have to always just take it to someone else. Like, you could actually educate yourself and take care of your machine on another level.
Well, it's like, you know, you get the tires balanced and rotated from time to time. You get an oil change from time to time.
But you could also change your own oil.
But you can do that yourself, you know? So I'm just saying, like,
not going to do that. You can do that.
When I bought my first car, I did not even know how to pop a hood. So now machines, I can do all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's just if you do the small maintenance along the way, it actually it prevents the machine from having bigger issues that you won't be able to fix on your own. And it'll make it last longer. You know, we said in Trisha's episode, I made a comment of like, you know, when you come home from a long day, you take your bra off, you know, you get comfortable. Your machine wants to like be comfortable and breathe too.
And let loose.
I feel like it's just common sense.
Like often, so part of that is like we show good habit keeping with machines.
Yeah.
So if I have other hosts who are not cleaning their machines or something like that, I'm like, did you clean it? Did you change a needle? Mm-hmm. We talk about needle sizing. We talk about needle height.
Yes.
So all of those types of things that people do not think about often, because they think that a universal needle is going to be for you. I'm like, no, you can't.
Everything.
No.
I hate that name.
I did the accident of telling people like one of my favorite things to use is a Microtex needle for knits. That works best for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I tell them what works best for me. And then I have friends who are using Microtex needle for everything. I'm like, no, that's not how this works. Like I sharing all the different parts of it, sharing where you can even get tools. So we talked about the little micro vacuum cleaners, not canned air that's pushing stuff in, but really pulling stuff out of your machine.
Trigger Bethany much? She loves that.
Yes. It irritates the bejesus out of me.
I keep it on my shelf to bug her.
And people have that, but then what I keep by my machine is I have. I have to show this.
I think he's just as passionate. Oh, a little shop vac.
All of $20.
Yep.
And you can get the micro attachments and literally clean out your machines. And it has a good section, so it's good, getting stuff out.
Yeah.
Wow. I have a show about how you can get brushes from the Dollar Tree to really get in there and clean your machine. Get even a makeup brush or anything like that.
Yep.
Those type of things, making sure you have the proper oil, making sure you're using good thread.
Yep.
New thread too, because
I did a whole thing with work of in February we did a sewing tip every single day. And I had to, I think out of 28 days in February, I did 17 of the tips. And then we had like ambassadors and stuff do some of the other ones. I was like, I'm one person. So I did like 17 reels in January just for February. But one of them was talking about thread and how it has an expiration. Like it's not going to say it on there, but you can just like, if your grandmother gave you a box of threads handed down to you, please don't put that in your machine. No. If you get one of those like kits, like starter sewing kits, all the thread that comes in that, just throw it away.
Oh yeah. It's every color.
It looks pretty. It looks enticing. Just the storage thing might be useful, but the rest of that stuff is just get rid of it.
Well, sometimes you might find thread like on certain websites online for and you might get 7 or 8 spools for $5. No,
don't.
That might not be the best thing for you.
What are the best thread issues
in your machine? So the thread I like.
Mm-hmm.
What I like the best? I like
works Mettler, for you. Like,
Mettler and Guterman are my favorite.
Guterman's great.
I usually buy them in larger spools. So like Waywack sells them in larger spools. Mm-hmm. I get I got the 100 spool set and I have all my colors and I can use it on my industrial. I can use it on my regular
domestic
machine. Mm-hmm. It works well for me.
Nice.
Some people like Coates and Clark. If it works well, go for it. I have
my mom's a Coates and Clark, but she's also a quilter.
Okay.
So that's a little bit why. And then I have a lot of embroidery thread, the rayon.
Yeah.
For embroidery and applique and all of that. And that's, what is it?
Is it?
Robinson and Anton.
Okay, yeah.
Is what a lot of that is. But I mean, you just kind of learn different trial and error. But if you keep having a thread break, it's probably your thread.
I had 30-year-old industrial thread and it kept breaking or unwinding. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'll find new stuff. This is $30 a spool. They're really thick stuff.
It hurts my heart every time I got to do it, especially now that I have this industrial. I'm like, these are expensive. I did not realize that.
I know.
I got this machine the other day and I'm like, oh gosh. That's opening a whole new can of worms and stuff I got to buy.
Black and white for now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's it. Just as long as you have you have a black, a white, a gray, a navy, and a mauve or something like that, you can do a lot of things with.
That's pretty much all I have for my sergers. Some people have all the colors of serger thread. I'm like, I am not changing my serger thread that frequently.
Not that much. You know,
I have an air thread, so it's easy.
I do too.
I don't. But
even still.
And you're going to say that, and I don't.
But there's so many different options now.
I know.
I mean, if you want me to talk you into getting one, I can.
I've tried. Don't worry. This is
not my little, it's like a 1034, but it's a 655D. brother.
I think I started with a brother serger.
I think everybody does. Goodwill.
It was a Goodwill because it wasn't like the regular one. I got it from Goodwill and I went to Juki and then Bernina. And really, like, even the reason me getting into sergers the way that I am is totally by accident because it was came to me like, hey, we want you to bring the serger out.
Oh.
So, because I did not use proper etiquette with sergers before this. Mm. It was just to finish him, and that's it.
Oh. Hmm.
It was just like, I don't care about tensions or anything like that. And then I started to learn what you really can do with your machine. And I'm like, there's so many more ways I can use this. Because some people, if you start with your just regular machine, you don't think about all the ways that you can really use a serger. Or sometimes, let's be real, we see serger projects. It's not something that me as a man will make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't need all the ruffles and stuff.
You don't
want
to do a lettuce hem?
I don't know what. Like, I guess I can make myself like a Liberace shirt or something like that.
I mean, there's a place. But it doesn't always have to be for garments either. Like, I've done some really cool craft projects with a serger. You could do decorative stitches with a serger. Very true. You can make your own plaid fabric with a serger.
Yes.
You could do some really cool stuff with a serger. And when I tell people that you can do decorative stitches with a serger, they're like, mine goes like what? Glitches. They're like, what? Yeah. And I'm like,
suspicious.
Like, she's sus. But seriously, like, you can do some really cool stuff there. You know, you just got to learn the settings.
Yeah.
And then,
but it's probably doing that.
I was like, okay. And I think now, again, and I'm not just saying this because I work with Bernina, but you know, like, it has
you
a
know what you're familiar with. Me
which ones, what stitches I can play with. And I'm like, and it literally taught me how to do it. So I did not feel like I was going to mess it up. And that helped.
Well, the Bernina Era Thread Serger that you have is very similar to the Viking Era Thread Serger that I have. They're the same. And then there's a Foff one that's very similar too. So the company, I say I work for Singer because that's my focus, but we own SVP. All three of those brands. Yeah. So I have those fun, like, fancy ones that I get to use personally, but I love that it has like 27 stitches programmed, and I click on the one that I want and it tells me which needle position to put it in. It auto sets my tension. It sets my differential feed.
Wow.
I mean, it literally air threads itself, and I'm just like, so, and then I can do a cover stitch on it as well. So it's just
one day,
nice.
One day.
It's just nice.
I'll just hang out with my little brother.
But I still have to teach on the regular sergers and the entry level sergers and stuff too. And I don't mind sometimes I actually enjoy like sitting down and going, I got to figure out how to thread this again. And then I do it. I'm like, well, that's not so bad.
I find it comforting. It's like a puzzle to thread a serger. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't mind it. Like, I will sit there and just like do, do, do.
Yeah.
And just have a good time.
I got my little tweezers, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I can't thread any serger without a pair of tweezers. It's become second nature.
I used to, and then I got a pair of tweezers and I was like, oh,
that's so much easier.
That's how they do it.
So I used to have like a Foff, like an older Foff serger, and like getting my hand in there, I was like, oh no, we can't do that. I literally had to get a pair of tweezers, and you know, and I then started to go into a Harbor Freight. Like, so I go to the hardware store to get certain pairs of tweezers that are even smaller than ones that come from the machine.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, there's some sergers that cut like the more entry level ones that come with like these like black plastic ones. I'm like, just
no.
I need some really good metal ones with like a long hand, long, good curved tip. I mean,
I have one that has like, it's like bent. So it's like,
It's like,
I started working with Bernina, actually, I worked for Viking Sewing Galleries.
Oh, did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know the Amber Air S600 that they came out with
I keep abreast of all the ones
you
that
keep,
are
but you're familiar. So that's the one that I have.
Yes,
and so it's very similar. And so like the Foff is like the 7000.
Yeah,
the whatever. Anyways, but yeah, they're all very similar.
They're
all very similar, and they all do have a lot of the same features, but they're just all. It's just fun.
One day.
One day. But, you know, you the more you do and the more exposure you get to these different ones, and then you find opportunities like Julian has, like I have, to like get your hands on one.
Amazing.
It's, you just don't take it for granted.
And then once you like are at that level, then you also want to make sure that you know all of them for mm-hmm. everybody at every price point. So that's the big thing. I think we want to make sewing accessible. So I try mm-hmm. to know things at every price point.
Yep.
So that people mm-hmm. know that you can be, it's easy, like you can gain entry to this. You do not need to buy it brand new. Go mm-hmm. go to your vintage store. Like I have, mm-hmm. I would tell people to buy a vintage machine. Mm-hmm. And we will get on live together, and I would teach them how to oil it. I would teach them how to clean it, get them all together, show them different features of the machine. Sometimes I will hand choose the machine for them to buy, mm-hmm. and we will go from there. Just those different ways to really get people interested. Because if your tools work the way that you want them to do when you start, mm-hmm. there's less frustration.
Yeah, so, there's a reason on my socials that I don't show my top of the line machines a whole mm-hmm. lot. You'll see my serger because I do a lot of knit sewing. So you'll see that occasionally, but it's usually close up. And you don't see my big Pfaff embroidery machine very often because I really want it to be relatable to
absolutely
most sewists who don't have access to those machines. The only reason I have them is because I work for the company. I typically, like, my YouTube tutorials and videos are going to be on a Singer because that's relatable, and it makes them go, okay, well, she can sew that on, you know, a simple mechanical machine or whatever, then I can definitely sew that on mm-hmm, my machine. Mm-hmm. And it makes them feel like they can also do it. Cause sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to present it.
Yes.
In that manner. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm, and totally. Also, some of mine, I will do like some of my, sew-alongs for Nomi. I would mm-hmm. do it on vintage. So I'll use mm-hmm. a vintage machine. And literally, I will introduce a vintage machine that I'm doing. And a lot of my patterns are vintage inspired. Yeah. So to use a machine that kind of correlates with that, I'm like, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I can choose different ones. I have enough in my collection to choose which machine I want to use. And
do
it that way.
Do you name your machines?
Some of them, yes.
I have a feeling you do. Yeah. Okay, what did you name your industrial? Did you?
Vanessa.
Vanessa. I need to come up with a name for mine.
Mine's a boy. I don't know why. He does leather.
Monty.
Yeah. But it's like, she feels like hers is a girl vibe and mine, for some reason, it is.
I don't know. I definitely kind of feel like it's a girl vibe. What's yours?
Vanessa is a Cosby reference. So there is a Cosby where Vanessa went to Baltimore to have big fun. Mm-hmm. That's my big. I'm having big fun with Vanessa.
Oh my god! That's
Vanessa. So I try to also use the first letter of the brand of the machine in the name. So Vivor Vanessa.
That makes sense.
I love that
makes
show.
Sense. because I live in Nashville, I'm kind of leaning towards Dolly.
I like it.
I'm a big Dolly fan, and I could totally put some like Dolly stickers on her and really bedazzle her. Maybe. I mean, absolutely. I feel like she needs to get dressed up.
All machines need to be decorated too. Like, I don't keep a machine plain, especially if I know that, like, once I know it and I like it and I know I'm going to keep it. Like mm-hmm. with this one, I have a whole skin on it, and it's glitter.
I was wondering about that. Is that normal? Yes. That's awesome. No.
So there is a Etsy store called Wendy Hill Creations,
and she creates
Cricut faceplates for Berliner machines. Different colors. She has holograms. So I have this on this machine, and on my 830, I have holographic houndstooth.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
So the lady that I bought this from, she said that she's seen people where they like have them powder coated a different color and like everything. And I'm like, don't tell me that.
Have you seen the like powder coated featherweights in 301s?
Yes.
No, but I'm going to look now.
Because I have a 301 and I really want to get it like.
Yeah. How do you do that though? Like you take it all apart,
You do, and tape it up, and then you take it like to a car painter and mm-hmm. let them do it.
Yeah,
my industrial is like that, kind of like olive-y color. It's the color of the metal. It's not painted, I don't think, but it's definitely like it's 50 years old. It's a Mitsubishi.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And she put a new motor in it and everything.
Oh, yeah, I put a servo.
Like industrial motors, like you could do. Like, so mine's has the built-in motor, so there's no motor underneath it. So it's all built into the machine. It's really nice.
Yeah, this one is like a clutch motor, and it was a Benz clutch motor. And I'm like, yeah, no. I'm going to take that out. It also weighed like 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Just the motor.
Just the motor.
This is my third industrial, like, also, I have three industrials in this room as well.
Okay, so they're not all the same industrial, or are they? No. Okay, so what kind of industrials?
So I have a Singer 24112 from the 40s that I found on Craigslist for $25.
Stop.
That's one of those one of those situations where someone just didn't realize what they had, and they were cleaning out a family member's house.
It was in a barn, and they wanted to get rid of it. So, okay. And literally, I had not too long been sewing for that long, and somebody sent it to me. And I told my partner, like, hey, we need to go pick this up. And it was in the country. And he's like, I hope we don't get murdered, but we're going to do this.
This barn. This
back windy way, and we picked up this machine. But it's for, like, it's from a factory called, Florsheim or something like that? It was a uniform factory here in Ohio. It was one of the machines. It does not have reverse or anything like that, but it's made for heavy duty. I'm like, this doesn't, I tried changing the feed dogs and kind of retuning it. It didn't work for me. So it sits there. It's pretty. And then I have another head that I was going to put into that table that is a console. It's just a white one. And I was like, that didn't work the way I thought it was going to work. So those just sit in the back, and there's a curtain around them. I'm like, I can't even see them. They're just...
They weren't in the head count earlier.
No, because I forgot about them because I haven't seen them in 2 years. They're literally behind. I have them walled off. So basically there's like a little jog in my room that I have made with a curtain. So I don't even see them.
I feel like you need to do a room tour. Not necessarily. Now, but I'm just saying
there are videos of a room tour that I have shown because I am not an aesthetic, like, placekeeper. I'm a maximalist. So there is stuff everywhere. If you saw the table behind you.
Looks clean from here.
Exactly. See, this is why this is my backdrop. I'm like, this is pretty. And there's enough stuff here to not make you focus on anything else.
But Julian creates in this space. And that's why. And that's okay. My space can get to the point, especially when I was doing vendor shows and had a business and everything, it can get to the point where I can't even see the floor. My table is buried. And then there's stuff under the table all the way up to the bottom of the table. It's just like,
but you're working,
but I'm hustling. And then I get to the point where I'm like, I can't do anything in here. And I have to spend a whole day or sometimes a whole weekend trying to put everything away and put it in just so. Just so I can have a space where I can feel like I can freely breathe and move again to have because it can get like my space can get really suffocating quick because it's very small. And so,
probably like half the size of yours.
I don't know.
So I am lucky.
I've been in your space.
I have not been in your space.
Mine is the size of our living room. So like my living room is above me in my house and I'm in the basement.
Oh, okay.
And I'm lucky that I had this room, and literally I found out not too long ago, like a lot of the houses on my street are basically identical, and I'm the only one that has a full basement.
Lucky you.
I'm the only one with this room in my house.
It was meant to be.
I'm in the basement as well. Bethany doesn't have a basement.
I don't have a basement. I'm like the only house on my street that doesn't, because here in Tennessee, you don't have completely underground basements. It's like
crawl space.
It's you go around to the back and you can see, you can walk right into the basement. The front,
like a storm shelter?
No, I mean, it's the whole second, but from the front, you only see the first floor, and then you drive around to the back and you can see. There's a garage underneath. You can pull it right under the house and everything. So that's how most of the houses here are. But I'm on like the flattest, lowest lot of the street. So I don't have a basement. And so my sewing space is a one car converted garage in a My Little Ranch style house. And so the previous owners converted it to an interior space, took out the garage door, put in a wall, window, everything. but it's like really low ceilings because it's the attic access above. So every time I have to get in the attic, we have to like move my whole island and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the laundry room's right there and it takes up part of the space.
That is every square foot.
This is my this is my guest bedroom, the third bedroom in the house. And this is now my, I've taken over it and it's now my studio and and all of that. So
it's your job.
It is. It is. If it wasn't, then this probably wouldn't, the space wouldn't really exist, but it's great storage.
You can write it off, right? So
that's part of
it. Write off quarter of my house.
Yeah, pretty much. It's, I take up half of it and now I'm taking over the rest of the laundry room. I told Brett he had to clean it out. I need to have a space for my my new industrial. So that's going to stay in here and I'm moving stuff into that. So it's always like a puzzle. Like it's, yep. Shifting things around, you know, like you're always like, yes. It's always a juggle. But so what are you doing next? I mean, you have new patterns that you're working on. Like what can we expect to see from you the rest of this year? Anything special or anything exciting?
I do have a new pattern coming out in fall.
Yay. Yeah.
I'm excited for that. It's especially when, you know, you buy fabric and you have this fabric waiting for the proper thing to make with it.
Mm-hmm,
One of my outfits that I'm wearing in it is a fabric that I had been holding since 2020.
Oh, wow.
I never knew what to make with it. And I was able to make this with it and I'm excited about it. So there's that. I'm going to New York Frocktail. So now we have to start working on my outfit for that.
Because it's about the outfits.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I saw the Miami Frocktails and I was like, there's some pretty cool outfits at this.
And you know, it's a studio like 54 themed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, so cool.
So yes.
Do you know what do you have an idea? Do you want to keep that? Oh yeah. Let's see. Okay. I love it. Oh, stop.
Ah!
Yes.
Oh. It is denim.
So it's denim? Is,
yeah.
Okay, this we have to describe denim. This to our listeners who don't tune in to the video. But this, I mean, I'm going to let you describe it.
So it's basically a silver-coated denim, I think.
It looks like a mirror. It?
Yes. So it's almost like very thick aluminum foil. But it's like coated on the back. But it is a denim fabric. I think, I want to say it was either... I want to say Ralph Lauren or somebody made some jeans out of this before.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so imagine this. I'm either going to make a moto jacket or I'm going to make a pair of like high-waisted bell bottoms. I don't know yet.
I like the jacket idea. Because I feel like you could wear that again and again.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, because then you could pair that with just about anything.
Yeah.
I
can't wait to see it.
There's an opportunity. So I already have a moto jacket that I made out of a vintage pink wool, molten wool, and it's like a fuchsia.
With the pants.
I have options. I have options. But I really like if. So one of the interesting things about me is that when it comes to like certain social events, I get anxiety. But wearing my own clothes makes me feel better. That's like my own security blanket.
It's like a security blanket. Yeah. I get that.
I went to the Beyonce concert not too long ago and I made my outfit. I started, literally me and my friend started.
I saw it.
The day the tour started. And I was like, that was so much fun. That was my first time working with sequins. That was my first time kind of like working, making a menswear garment out of like a lace.
So it was like a meshy,
If we have a photo, I'll put it up. Can we get a photo?
Yes. I think I sent it to you.
I think it's in there.
Oh, okay, perfect.
I think it's in the folder
then
already.
If you're watching, then you're going to see it.
I mean, what I liked about it is it had this like sex appeal, you know what I mean? Because it was see-through, but it wasn't like obvious see-through. And so it was just like a little peekaboo kind of thing, but it was super cute. I mean, well, maybe cute isn't the word.
Amazing. And I'm not the smallest person. So I'm like,
it looks so good.
Those type of things. I'm like, I need to do more of that. So like, this is an opportunity for me to be with friends, have a good time, but then also like build up my confidence. That's the great thing about someone like literally when you make it, you can call it whatever size you want.
Yeah.
A size doesn't matter.
It's size me. That's all that matters.
Exactly. And you can make it to fit you. So you can have a good time in stuff that you make. And this is why sewing is so inclusive for so many people.
Yeah.
And there's no gender to fabric. You can wear whatever fabric you want. It can have sparkles on it. Like, so I'm looking for more opportunities to wear lace and sparkles just to kind of break down some barriers there as well.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, these are events that I can have fun with.
Yeah. And the confidence that you get when you know and you have honed in the skill of making garments that fit your body specifically, because that's where you go, okay, well, if I know that these silhouettes fit me really well and I feel like I look perfect, like gorgeous, like confident when I look in the mirror wearing that, it's going to show when you go out wearing that. And so when you kind of figure that out, when you start garment sewing, you just like, oh, I'm just going to start with something simple. That's fine. But like, as you start to look at patterns, you're like, oh, that silhouette's not really my thing. It's a beautiful pattern. That's not really going to look good on my body shape. So I'm going to pass on it. But then I find another one. I'm like, that's, you know, that's meant for my shape. And I wear it. I make it. I'm like, yeah. You know, you just learn. You just learn and figure it out. And there's just such confidence in that. And it's just... I couldn't tell you the last time I like went to a store and bought clothes. Not even pajamas.
It has to make be it all real myself. Basic. Like there's certain things I'm just not gonna make. So there's certain like sweats or something. If it's on clearance.
Yeah. I do buy jeans. I do buy a lot of my jeans and shorts.
Better than I can buy them. But if it's cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If it's cheaper than if you were to buy the fabric and make, okay, fine.
I will deal with it. But yeah, like, you know, just, I know what I like. I know what I like to wear. I know how I like it to have made. So like, especially once you made your first garment and you go into a store and then you start looking at how garments are made. Mm-hmm. And then I love pattern matching. Pattern matching is very important to me.
Yeah. And those companies don't.
They don't.
And so, and if it's off, if you got a plaid and it ain't right.
Yeah.
I can't
feel it. I just can't.
So, you know, like you start to build up your own thing and you know, especially I go and talk for a living. That's part of what I do. Mm-hmm. And to wear something that I've made is such a great conversation starter. So especially, I work from a place of privilege. I have the money as an organization to help or at the organizations. But if I'm wearing something I made, it breaks down conversation, it breaks down barriers, and it helps to level playing field just from a very human, like a human level. Like, hey, we can have a fun conversation and it helps break ice. So like having the fun things to wear, it starts a different conversation and we can ease into the business stuff. But you know, it just really helps build friendship and community, even with people who don't sew, just because it's happy. It's bright, colorful. It makes people excited. So to bring that into my daily life and just instill that into my mental health and just kind of just fill up the positivity tank and make me and the happiness tank on a daily basis is important.
That's a good way to start the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you know how many conversations I've had like that start with, did you make that? Right. And then ice broke immediately. Yeah.
Or someone, you know, there's some people, like if someone were to come up to me and say, oh, I love that dress. I'm like, oh my God, thanks. I made it. I love to tell people that I made my outfit. There's some people that are like, oh, thanks. Like they don't say anything. And I'm like, I am proud. I will brag about it. And I don't care.
Everyone feel bad though, because they're like, "Oh, I wish I could find that somewhere," and it's like, "Yeah, you can't." I could teach you though.
That's why, because a lot of times what ends up happening, like, do you sell or do you make custom orders? I'm like, no, but I will teach you.
Yeah.
So, because even to the point where if I'm going out or if I'm at business stuff with coworkers, if I don't say I made it, they will.
Right? That's they my know. Well, you that's know, my kids. Like, right? My kids do that.
When you have that community, like people will, they will do that for you. I'm like, look, I will teach you how to do it.
There's a lot of people at work that don't sew. I mean, it's a big company. So there's a lot of people that aren't sewists that work for the company. And so whenever I go to the office, they're kind of always curious as to what I'm going to wear. Cause I always try to wear something me made when I go to the office. And sometimes it's some pretty bright colors and I might be the only color in the office. It's a very beige office, believe it or not. Yeah. And so sometimes I'm in there and I'm like wearing hot pink, you know, and it's like, And I'm like, yeah, I'm here. I wore a sweatshirt one day that said sewist. Like, in case anybody forgot what I do here, this is my job title right across my desk.
So I work at, like, you know, I'm in a professional environment. Yeah. And I have, my office is decorated, too. So there's a sewing machine in my office.
Stop. I love that.
There is. I didn't count that in my number either. Here's how I have sewing machines other places. But, like, a little, I have quilts, like, quilts on my wall. That's my art in my office that I made. It's part of the conversation. So if we have guests coming and they see my office, and I'm like, right now my office is decorated for Pride. So it's Pride quilts. So it's two rainbow quilts on the wall and different things like that. Otherwise, it's African, like Ankara quilts and stuff like that. That's, wow. You know, I just instill that into wherever I go. And I think it just, it helps to break down barriers. So,
So not just garment sewing, but you do quilts as well.
That's behind him. Is that not?
I know.
So this is not, this is painted. So I painted this in my senior year of high school. This was my senior religion thesis project. Wow. So around it, there is like a quote that I made, talking about my personal mantra, but it is kind of off of the style of an Arabian or Muslim prayer cloth.
It's painted on fabric.
It's painted, it's canvas. Oh, it was kind of like gorgeous. How like the 1700s, 1800s had those oil floor cloths and stuff like that. So it's kind of mixing some different things together.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow.
You could
quilt thought that was though. A quilt behind you.
I know. But yeah, so I had been holding on to it since I graduated, and I was like, this is the perfect place to put it. So
Yeah.
Nice. But you do quilt.
Yes, I do.
And then do you do any other types of sewing, or is it just garments and quilts?
Or all of them.
Basically, that's about, well, no, because I do bags now, too. So
that's what I'm saying. Nice. I feel like he does bags now if he's got all these industrials.
I blame my TikTok friends because they got me to do some bag sew-alongs over there. So I've done some bags, done some wallets. I've done... my partner's a pastor, so we have a church. So I've done altar cloths and stuff like that, and different vestments.
Very cool.
And so that, and then, but mostly garments. Garments is my, that's my safe space. That's my, my soft spot.
Same. I kind of have to do it all because of work. I have to be able to teach it all, but I enjoy garments the most. But since we started this podcast, we've had such a variety of, like, sewing niches represented through all of our episodes, and from different people, and the bag makers just make it look so cool.
Well, and I'm usually the one who's been I've been hiding in all of their TikTok lives for like years. So as soon as we started this podcast, I'm just like, okay, Nicole, who else was there? Like, Kasaya, Lauren, like, I'm just like naming all of them. I'm like, okay, write them all down.
They all have to come. And now we're friends with all of them. And I watch all their content. I'm like, okay, I really, really, really would like to get into this. And that's how I ended up
finally
with an industrial. But I mean, it's been a year
trying to influence her for a whole year, but
yeah.
Well, see, I use my industrial mostly for garments, like, because I mean, I work with woven. Woven is my favorite. I can sew, but I could also do knits on it too. It's lovely.
And I don't think I can. I think mine is like way too heavy duty industrial. Okay. Like, it's like they used it for upholstery, like cars and bars and things like that. Like,
boat covers.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
But the one I have, like, I made sure it's basically my vintage sewing machine of dreams is just huge. So it gives me what I need for what I do, which is mostly garments, but I can do bags on it. It does what I needed to do. I love sewing on it. It's just so nice.
It's fun.
It's just basic and simple, and it's so quiet. And I'm like, I haven't bought a sewing machine since. I bought that, so.
Really?
And that says something about me.
It was the period at the end of the sentence for you, I guess. For a little while, at least. Maybe a comma.
I've tried looking. But, like, you know, it's not because I need anything. It's just like, what new vintage ones don't I have that I want to answer?
Yeah, it's hard not to look. It's hard.
Yes.
Well, we're excited to see what you do next. I'm excited for your fall pattern. I'm excited for your frocktails outfit. Like, That fabric is wild. It's so great. It's so great. But yeah, we really appreciate you hanging out with us and chatting with us and getting to know you better. This has been fun.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking with people in the sewing community. So this was awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm going to hold on just 1 second.
Okay.
This thing keeps jumping up on me and scratching me, so we're just gonna hold her for the end of this.
Okay.
She's being mean because she's had to be in here like all day with me, so anyways, we really appreciate you hanging out with us today, Julianne, and let me start over. Okay, now I know what's coming up next. All right, so we really appreciate you hanging out with us, Julianne. This has been so fun. And I just want to let our listeners know that next week, it's just a host-only episode. We do these once a month. It's just Ashley and I, but we're going to be talking about DIY wedding. Yes. We want to see and we want to hear all about the things that you have created, whether it's sewing or even crafting, for your wedding, for a family member's wedding, for a friend's wedding. We want to hear those stories. So we're excited to be sharing. It's wedding
season.
I mean, I feel like it's kind of year round, but I feel like going into fall, we get a lot of those here in the South. Mm-hmm. Summer is too hot here to do that, those June weddings. But, you know, fall and November is like perfect. Yeah. So we wanted to take a moment out of our first year of doing this podcast to have a moment for the weddings, the DIY weddings. So we're excited to talk about that. We have our listeners participating in that episode. We really enjoy getting our listeners' involvement in those episodes because they love to share what they have made. And I love to see how excited they get about it. And we love sharing it. So tune in next week for that. As always, you know, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. So be sure to hop over there and do that. And then join our newsletter. You can do that over on our website so that you can be in the know of what's coming up next, like our episode today with Julianne. So thank you again, Julianne. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Happy sewing. We'll see you next week.